In the evening of September 1st, State Representative Mark Meek held a live telephone town hall to address the concerns of the people of Clackamas County around the coronavirus. Meek represents House District 40, which encompasses Oregon City, Gladstone, Johnson City, Jennings Lodge, and unincorporated Clackamas County. The town hall also featured community leaders who helped to address questions from those who participated in the call. James Graham is the Economic Development Manager in Oregon City. He explained the efforts by the city to stimulate the local economy while the pandemic-induced recession makes economic development difficult.
I have been Economic Development Manager for Oregon City for every bit of 7 months. If you really want to experience the highest level of stress, move across the country during a pandemic, during social unrest, as well as a recession. That is the highest degree, I think, of stress that I've experienced in my life so far. But nevertheless, I've been in this field of economic development for over 32 years, and I've done this work in 13 cities and 8 states. And I have lived in every time zone in this country doing this work, and I love it, and I wouldn't give it up. To give you some idea of what we've been doing in Oregon City, we have been extremely busy and to address this economy, keeping businesses open, trying to keep people employed as much as possible. But I wanted to give you some idea in terms of what we have been doing. On April 27th, City Commission voted in what we call the Oregon City Business Debt Relief Program. $200,000 was taken from our general fund to provide grants to small businesses so that they remain open. This money was actually used to pay their bills. We actually paid bills in order to keep our business community running. And so that was a very helpful approach to this situation. Shortly thereafter, we ran that program for about a couple of months, and shortly thereafter, we started another Oregon business debt relief program, but this time with the state government involved as a partner. And while we didn't pay the bills, we actually paid the applicant directly. So it was a bit different in terms of how we approached that. Keeping with the initiative, we actually encouraged restaurants to open up their doors and put tables and chairs and umbrellas on the sidewalk, and also to build parklets in some of the spaces where you could on the street right next to their doors, or in a parking area that's right in front of their building, so that people can actually eat dinner or breakfast or something outside due to the virus. But also, we also learned that a lot of people who live in Oregon City was not aware of their history, and because there's so much unemployment, didn't feel comfortable coming out and enjoying some of the things that Oregon City has to offer, particularly in our restaurants. So what we did was create what we call the Community Showcase. You could actually go on, and this happens each month, where someone can go on our website, traveloregoncity.com, and watch a virtual tour of one of our many historic sites. And then after that video has played, three or four questions would come up, and if you answer most of them, you'll be enrolled in a drawing whereby the winners will receive a $40 gift certificate. And we do this once a month to go to 10 restaurants or different each month. But 50 people each month will be able to have a gift certificate in the amount of $40 to go to 10 restaurants different each month to enjoy what we have to offer, as well as learn a bit about Oregon City's history. And this program has been very successful, and you have to be Oregon City resident to be in this particular program, because we want to encourage Oregon residents to learn more about their history. We also started an initiative called the Concierge Institute. The Concierge Institute is a 6 to 8 week training for businesses, particularly restaurants, as well as our tourism sites, so that they can actually be encouraged, so they be encouraged to keep their doors open, keep interfacing with customers in a safe way, raise the professional level of all these organizations so that it's all about greeting the customer, it's all about making the customer feel confident and comfortable. And also, it's also all about managing your business so that you actually can keep up with the books and pay your taxes and do those kind of things that all businesses need to do. So the Concierge Institute is designed to help our restaurants as well as some of our historic sites to be functional, efficient, and customer-friendly. And then if you don't plan, you fail. You will definitely fail. And we have started what we call an economic development strategic plan for the city of Oregon, Oregon City, that is, so that we can identify ways to keep our economy resilient. And we have a steering committee of 14 people of industry, academia, also of government, and other private citizens to help Oregon City develop its strategic plan due to this pandemic. And we need to, our economy needs to be more agile and more flexible in this time.
That was James Graham. He's the economic development manager in Oregon City. Also featured in the town hall was Kelly Thomas. Thomas is a nurse at a Clackamas County hospital.
My name is Kelly. I'm a registered nurse at a local hospital here in Oregon City. We're part of a larger system in the Pacific Northwest. I was asked to address a few issues concerning the pandemic, the first of which is what it's like to be working as a nurse in a pandemic. I can tell you it's been very challenging. It's also been very stressful. We are required by CDC to wear a mask and a face shield for all our patient encounters. We put that on when we arrive at work, and then we have that on for the next 12 and a half hours while we work. They're hot, they're uncomfortable, but the hardest part about all of it is how it affects our patient interaction. Our patients can't see us, they can't see our facial expressions, they can't tell if we're smiling, and it's really hard to hear each other because most of the time they have a mask on, we do too. It muffles the sound, it just makes it really difficult. It's really hard for very young patients because it's scary to them. It's also hard for a lot of our elderly patients because when they come in, sometimes they're already scared. They're having a health crisis that can be confused and then walk in and see all of us suited up and all they can see is our eyes. So it's been a really scary time. It does affect everything we do, and we are, you know, as healthcare workers, we try to make the best of it. The CDC guidelines have changed frequently since this pandemic began, and it's sometimes difficult for us to keep up. We worry about contracting the disease ourselves. We worry about taking it home to our own family, our own loved ones. So it definitely can take a toll, both emotionally and physically. Another issue I always ask is about how our hospital is holding up. Our hospital here, I feel like, has handled things very well, unlike a lot of other states. We do have adequate PPE. If we ask for it, we have been provided it. They let us know if we've had an exposure. And we have multiple support systems in place for us. We have access through our employee assistance program to help us with stress, dealing with the stress of it all, the mental health issues. We can also receive counseling if we need it. They've worked very hard locally to address all the issues and to make sure that we do have the proper things that we need to do our job. I feel like we've been supported very well. And another question that was for me was how the public can help. The number one way to me is patience. If this pandemic is new to all of us, I've been in nursing for years and years. I've gone through the AIDS epidemic, Ebola, SARS, a whole lot of challenges in healthcare, and coronavirus is in a category all of its own. We have a lot of specific guidelines that we have to follow. I'm sure they're frustrating. They can be redundant and they can, you know, sometimes it takes longer than usual, but they are in place to protect both us and the patients. So just please try to be patient with us while we go through this together. Second is to please, please wear a mask. There are multiple studies that prove it does make a difference. It's very disheartening when we see people in public and they're not wearing a mask just because to us that just delays how long it's going to take to get this under control and how long we're going to have to keep wearing masks. There's no one more than your healthcare workers that want to see this go away. But until the time that we can get it under control, then just please be courteous and wear a mask. The last thing I want to say is I do want personally to thank Governor Kate Brown and the government leadership here in Oregon. They intervened very early, implemented closures, came up with a comprehensive plan, and it made a huge difference in our not only in our hospital not becoming overwhelmed, but it kept our rate of infection and deaths from, and we've come out a lot lower than a lot of other states. I know that's had a huge economic impact. I know that it's not always been easy and it's not always been popular, but I do think it's made a huge difference. I have nursing colleagues in several states, including my home state of Alabama. They didn't put guidelines in place there, and as a result, they have a worse outcome in general. And not only did they not shut down and not protect their healthcare workers and their constituents, they also, their economy still suffered a great hit. So at least here they did intervene early. They did put a lot of things in place, and I am forever grateful for that. They did, I feel like here in Oregon, they did stand up. They did what's necessary to protect the citizens. And for that, I thank you, Representative Meeks, and all of the Oregon leadership.
That was Kelly Thomas, a registered nurse at an Oregon City area hospital, detailing her experience dealing with the virus as a healthcare worker. Next, a constituent named Connie asked the panel about Clackamas County's progression on the reopening schedule. Here's what she had to say.
I would like to know how Clackamas County can get disengaged from Multnomah County and Portland.
Untethered.
Yes, as far as going through the phases to come out of this COVID shutdown.
Governor Brown has linked Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington counties in their reopening process because the counties are interconnected in the Portland metro area. Both Washington and Clackamas counties have appealed to the governor to be decoupled from the other counties, but they have not been successful. State Representative Meek responded.
When this first occurred, as you remember, probably early June, the phases were given out to our counties, or counties they had to apply, and Clackamas County applied. Not one of the first counties, but soon after, we met all the requirements and were able to get Clackamas County open in phase one. And then after that, Washington County was able to open. And Multnomah County was having troubles. It's a bigger county, I understand. But meanwhile, we were still doing pretty well here with being prepared to apply for phase two. And I think that what started to occur, a lot of our hairdressers, our restaurants, and other, you know, business owners were able to, you know, offer their services. And what was occurring is the Multnomah County, you know, residents, God bless their soul, were coming across, you know, to use our services. And of course, we were all still pent up from being, you know, in our homes and needing haircuts and all the rest. So the governor had to make a decision, and when she made that decision, I want to let you know that not only your county commissioners, but myself and other representatives in Clackamas County, you know, called the governor and asked, you know, for some leeway out there. And I was given the response, you know, that we were just having too much overflow or traffic coming across the county borders because we're so close together. One of the ideas that I've presented to them is to see if there's a way that if Multnomah County, if we're tethered together, all three counties, that if one county is at level one, the other counties could not be more than one step away from them. So Multnomah County is at level one, maybe, or phase one, we could go to phase two, so that we're not more than, you know, one phase away from each other, so that they're pretty similar in, you know, what you can offer. And I'm waiting to hear back on that. I think it's valuable, and we may get some response to that as this, you know, pandemic continues. What's more what I'm more thankful for right now is that our rate of incidences are going down. That is very positive. I was on a briefing last week with the Oregon Health Authority of the numbers and metrics we need to meet to, you know, allow our children to get back to school in a safe manner. And we're getting closer and closer to that, depending on how quickly we get these numbers down. Connie, I appreciate your message, and I'll let you know that we all agree with you. We feel that Clackamas County needs to be independent, and we need to be able to help our businesses, you know, get back to normal. And so we are working on that, trying our best to make sure we can do it in a safe and healthy way.
That was State Representative Mark Meek addressing concerns from a Clackamas County community member about the potential for the county to progress in the reopening process separate from Multnomah County. Bob Stewart is the superintendent of Gladstone Schools. Stewart explained how the school district will be creating distance learning while still supporting the social and emotional health of students.
So schools are opening with comprehensive distance learning. That's the direction that we're headed. Data in our state is leading us in that way. That decision was made just a little over a month ago. And so school districts have been working hard to put ourselves in position to support our families at where families are. So in our district, we're offering comprehensive distance learning to any families that choose to be a part of that. We know that many families are concerned about returning at any time. If we were able to open, many families would not want their kids to enter school. So we offered a separate option for families, which was distance learning, which we contracted with a company to provide the curriculum. Our teachers will provide the grading and feedback to kids on how they're performing within that. And that's meeting the needs of a lot of families. And so that's kind of the general nature of what we're trying to do. How this is different from last spring is that, one, we've had time. We had no time in the springtime. If you remember back to springtime, the first order was we'd be out of school until April 1st. And then about 9 days later, we'd be out of school to April 28th. And then about 2 weeks after that, it was announced that we'd be out for the rest of the year. And we had a shelter-in-place order. So we didn't even have the ability to bring people together in any way to start to make any planning and support for kids and families during that time. We know kids are going to need a lot of support beyond academics. We're actively planning about how we're going to address and support kids' social emotional health and wellness, and that doesn't just include kids. We have a lot of staff members, and we have a lot of families that have same concerns. We also know that parents are going to need different support than they've had in the past. We've actually established some different task groups, working with parents, working with staff, working with families to help determine what are the most pressing needs that people have and how can we step in and help on those most pressing needs. So from our standpoint, that's how we're approaching this. We've delayed the start of school for about 8 days. And the reason is that we're providing more training for our staff during that time so that they're more ready. So we actually start on September 16th, a Wednesday. And that will be our first day of school.
Well, I want to ask, you know, the state or the Oregon Department of Education came out with initial guidelines or procedures and requirements to open up. And has that been helpful in creating your plan to reopen? Has it been over prescriptive? What are your thoughts on that? Because I know, like, North Clackamas and Oregon City, they're all dealing with the same, you know, guidelines and requirements.
Yeah, the department's been very helpful. They've attempted to listen to school districts from all around the state, and recognizing that the school districts are in far different places depending on where they are in the state. There are a number of school districts in the state that have less than 10 kids in the entire school district, and so their needs are way different than what the needs are for metro area school districts. So the department has tried to be very flexible and try to create opportunity for school districts to operate within the rules. So initially it was all about hybrid and how do we bring kids in. We were actively developing our plan to bring kids in on 2 days a week, about half the kids at a time, to make sure we could have social distancing within classrooms. And then as the summer wore on and the infection rate kept increasing, then that needed to be changed by the department to set metrics that in the metro area, certainly, and in the majority of the state, it's not possible to bring kids into the school building at this time. And so I would say more than 90%, probably more than 95% of the kids in the state of Oregon will be opening in comprehensive distance learning.
That was Bob Stewart, the superintendent of Gladstone Schools, discussing the district's plan for rolling out comprehensive distance learning due to COVID-19. You are listening to KBOO News In Depth, where today we have been following the telephone town hall held by State Representative Mark Meek yesterday. Meek represents House District 40, which encompasses Oregon City, Gladstone, Johnson City, Jennings Lodge, and unincorporated Clackamas County. The town hall featured panelists from around the district who are leading the fight against and recovery from coronavirus. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.